I'm joined by Sonia Mortimer from Devon. Sonia, can you just explain what has been going on with
Sure.
these break-ins to people's houses authorized by the courts in order to
Yeah.
put prepay meters in? And we know, don't we, that these prepay meters are actually more expensive than the previous ones. So obviously there's a financial incentive for the big energy companies like Centrica, who've just announced record profits today, three times more than last year, to get these meters installed.
Yeah, I was just about to mention that. They had a record. It was in the billions. So not millions, billions. That they
You, sorry, you,
record
so,
level.
suddenly you were fine just now, but you've gone kind of muffled.
Oh, hang on. Can you hear me?
That's better.
Okay, right. I'll say that. Okay, fine. So it was effectively in the billions, not millions, billions. So that's the level of the three times over the projected profit limit. So it went into the billions. So yeah, and a staggering profit margin for 2022 for Centrica, the owner of British Gas. And yes, so the incentive is, you are right, there are incentives to get these meters into people's houses. But for me, what's more worrying is the legal process at present. As we know, there are bulk legal concessions where British Gas can simply just, on a factory scale, support, put in these claims for debts. Which we don't know if there's any due diligence, proper oversight as to the legitimacy of these claims, for which a normal court process would challenge. It would often entertain the right of a dispute. If there's a legitimate dispute with a customer, the customer may have all sorts of reasons why they are disputing the debt. For example, such as the company's failure to produce a bill. I mean, that has happened. And that's just where we are right now. And yet we have this court process allowing bulk claims to go through a very quick process by which British Gas just turn around and say, we've got a warrant. Next thing you know, comes a knock on the door to fit the smart meters, sorry, the prepayment meters, which of course, again, are on a higher tariff.
Right.
So,
So look, I mean, there are all sorts of reasons why someone may be in debt. That is, I mean, we do know that the energy companies in law do have a duty to, I believe it's once a year, come and read your meter. Often they just don't bother anymore. And there are debts being racked up because estimated readings, which are always higher than the actual amount, it seems. Sometimes the customer will say, well, actually, I haven't used anywhere near this much gas. The gas company, Centrica or British Gas or whoever, may well look at that and say, well, actually, we think you owe us maybe £500 for gas you've never used.
yeah. And this is the point about the whole argument of dispute. Once you raise a dispute with British Gas or whoever your energy company is, you have the right for that dispute as in a customer complaint to be followed through on the processes to which they have got to have processes in place to deal with complaints. Now, I believe that's all tied in with the license for them to trade. They have got license conditions for which companies such as British Gas, for example, have to adhere to. So, for example, if a customer has got a legitimate complaint, for example, of like they've never had a bill in 6 months, and then suddenly they've got a letter stating you've got a debt. Well, a customer may decide, well, I won't pay that debt unless I've seen a bill, which legally they don't have to pay a debt. They don't have to pay a debt on a letter which states you owe this amount. Unless you've got backup of a bill.
Well,
So
it doesn't sound like a proper court system. If the courts are not questioning any of these, I mean, there's a whole bunch of debts being sent to the court on a spreadsheet, and the court is just nodding them through. This is not a court. I don't know quite what's going on, but a court will make sure that both sides in that dispute get their say, and it might well be that customers will dispute those debts, but that doesn't seem to be taking place.
Exactly. And I think what the problem is that although there might have been some benefit as well for the courts, because it means that, they don't have to hold court hearings and court dates and times, so that means it frees up space in their courts for all these bulk claims. What they are doing, what they are effectively saying, is that we're taking for granted that all of these bulk claims that are getting through, probably rubber stamped at some office in, like, on a spreadsheet, that they're all legitimate. Well, actually, I think there can be legitimate challenges to the so-called claims that companies such as British Gas are putting through, because they're failing to highlight the relevant parts of the dispute.
Well, you're absolutely right about the questions over the legitimacy of these debts. Who's investigating this?
Well, there is supposed to be an ongoing investigation at the moment. As we know in the media, there's been a halt, apparently, which is only going to be temporary, to these warrants. And the investigation is put on hold, and it's supposed to be an investigation via Ofgem. So Ofgem are the regulator. Now, Ofgem were the ones responsible for signalling the requirement to stop or put a hold on the warrant process. Now, I believe that there's another, the legal side of it is overseen by Lord Justice Edis. And he is the one who's also concerned about the warrants being obtained by unscrupulous companies like British Gas, for example. So this has been investigated. But again, my concern, you know, from a consumer's point of view, is whether or not this is really going to be investigated. Because what it could just be is just a token exercise, which then gets rubber stamped, where it doesn't actually genuinely pull out the real questions. And the real questions are, again, what are the legitimacy of these claims? Is there any oversight into these claims, these bulk claims that are being, you know, forced through? So we don't know what the outcome of that. And also, we don't know as consumers whether consumers can make their input right now into this investigation. It's all a bit dark.
Yeah. So normally, if someone is being messed around by a energy provider, they have the ability to go and swap energy provider, don't they? What competition is there actually in this market? Real competition?
Well, at the moment, we know that the competition has, over recent years, like in the last year or so, been squished down to like a handful of competitors. We've practically got the big six running the entire market share. We used to have about 30 plus companies any one time that we could pick and choose as consumers. And that obviously is really, really important from a consumer's point of view, because it means that if there's competition in the market, that means it keeps the prices down. If you don't have competition in the market, what you have is a monopoly. That means you get the club coming together, the big six coming together and go, well, it's just us in the room. We can just, you know, we can just sort of keep the prices high between us, you know, maybe a penny or two. This is why we're in this mess right now. We have little or no competition on the market, plus very little oversight of Ofgem. And Ofgem have admitted failings to the fact that they are actually biased towards business as opposed to the consumer. So if they're making judgment calls, they're going to be in favour of the business.
But
so what is there now to back up the consumer?
Sorry, Ofgem are the regulators. Who regulates them, or who set them up, and who makes sure that they do their job?
Well, again, because there have been reported failings of Ofgem, what happens then is it bounces back to the Energy Secretary, and that goes up to the Cabinet. So we've got at the top of the pyramid, you've got the Cabinet, then it's Ofgem as the regulator. And below that, then, of course, it's the companies, and then below that's the consumers. So if Ofgem is not doing their job, or they're, you know, they're biased, as we know their bias is inherent, is towards the business, and they've admitted that, where does that go? And we've got the Energy Secretary in place at the moment, but we understand right now, because there's a change under Rishi Sunak, that they are going to be changing the Department for Energy. So then that puts that in that neither man's zone whilst this investigation is going on. So if Ofgem are not really doing their job whilst this quote investigation is going on, And there's a change at cabinet level about the, you know, the, where the energy, how the, you know, which department is going to be, what's the name and address and the telephone number of the department, etc. You know, there doesn't seem to be much in the way of accountability at the moment. What's this investigation's going on?
Well, I mean, you say the top of the tree is the cabinet. I wonder whether the top of the tree isn't actually the energy cartel. Looking at their profits, they seem to be calling the shots, the cabinet following along on their coattails.
Yeah, and there we go. Because again, if people wanted to follow through the chain and say, right, we demand a response at the moment, we've got this guy called Grant Shapps, who is the current energy secretary. But again, his position might change. It may revert to another. It may, you know, they are literally sorting out where they're going to place the energy secretary's position. Into what department? So it doesn't appear to be any direct form of communication there if someone wants to follow through on that chain from complaints all the way up. So I think what the problem is, I mean, you're right, there is obviously some issue. What the biggest problem is that we lack competition on the market. That self-regulates itself so purely because competition is good for the consumer. You know, companies have to fight for the customers. That means they're more likely to adhere to the license conditions, as in they will more likely adhere to complaints. You know, they'll cross all the I's and the T's, dot all the I's and cross the T's effectively to try and keep their customers. But where there is little choice on the competition side, they don't care because they know consumers need energy. Mm. And so they are stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Well, look, I mean, up until I was a teenager, we had nationalised gas, we had nationalised electricity. It was very reliable as a supply, except during the coal strikes, and actually very cheap. I mean, it was basically supplied at cost. These massive gas boards and electricity boards, which were divided up around the regions of the United Kingdom, they delivered almost at cost and very small profits, but those profits went back to directly into the treasury. What do you make of this new system as compared to the old nationalised system, which was put together, the gas boards and the electricity boards after World War II?
Well, there we go. It's given them what they've done by, quote, privatising it. It's given them carte blanche. You know, here we go. It's not a level playing field for the consumer. What it means is that, I mean, it would have been it's fine. And I think it was originally sold when they converted it to the private sector that, as you know, it's competition. Competition will keep the prices down. And it was like that for some time until we are where we are now. And, you know, they have manipulated the markets. I mean, Ofgem have accepted that they did have a hand in squeezing out the competition. And that's just how bad where it is right now. I don't know why this isn't more of a political issue. It's probably more fundamental than buying shoes or clothes. You know,
I noticed at the World Economic Forum, the Labour leader, Keir Starmer, he was tackled on whether the Labour Party were considering nationalisation, and he called, say, oh, no, that's definitely not the case. He was tackled by really the representatives of the international bankers.
Right. OK, well, there we go, because that would upset their interests, because that would mean the shift, the money and the accountability would go back to government. That, like you said, the example there is that you would have the money and the profits would be kept to a minimum, because it's a public utility, and then any public profit would be regenerated back in again for the utility of the customer. Where we have privatisation, you've got all of that money for the benefit of the private holders of those you know, utility companies in particular. So we've got no control. I think that's the bottom line. If we had control, we wouldn't be in this mess. But we've handed over our power to these private corporations that have got control of what is a very important asset of the control of energy in this country. And that is not serving the consumer or people in this country.
So what do you make of these profits then? Massive profits. BP, $23 billion. Shell, something like $35 billion. The Centrica profits are also three times what they were last year, into the billions. These profits are really just going to shareholders.
Well, I think the other thing, that the other dynamic that needs to be considered in all of this, okay, it's one way, one thing for them to go private, but the reality is now is that a lot of these big holders, they're all on an international, they're all on an international basis, so they don't even have to be registered in this country for tax reasons. The Centrica, I believe, is actually in France. I could be wrong, but it's outside of this country. So in other words, any tax they pay is negligible because they're not registered. And that's how they, that is the reality of where these big conglomerate energy companies are. And that is how are we going to hold these companies accountable? Because if they want, now they've got free rein to do whatever they want and charge whatever they want, because this, the whole energy cap system is also falling apart right now. And there doesn't seem to be any pledge by the government to put in further caps. And if they are, they are, they're just not keeping up with inflation. The whole aspect of keeping a control over a company and keeping prices down is going to be very, very difficult for a company, sorry, for a government, now that they've given them free rein to do what they want. And also they're international, so they don't have to. And also they could just say, do you know what, if you're going to charge us too much tax, we're going to not supply your country anymore. Mm. And that would be a very serious problem. And that's what the tax office has to fight for. In fact, in many cases, the tax office often has to negotiate with these big companies, especially like the likes of Amazon, to get tax out of them, because they don't have to provide services. That's where we're at. Mm. And I think, you know, until people understand that actually we need to rein in important things like utilities and keep them at home and keep them registered here in the UK so that we can have control of them. Otherwise, we're just going to sit in this mess and it's not going to get any better.
OK, well, what about some actual stories of things that have been happening with British Gas to their customers?
Right. Well, I think I've heard some, I've also done a little bit of research, and I've heard some horror stories about people, like, for example, not getting bills and then suddenly getting threatening letters in through the door where they've never had a bill. And also, I think there's the other thing as well. There's always an assumption that people have to move to a direct debit system. And there's a lot of people that, for whatever reason, they may want to pay their bill through a shop. So that means they want the right to pay their bills and check their bills and then go and pay through Payzone, whatever the shops, you know, the third-party pay systems through various shops. So that means they'll pay in cash if they choose. But the point is they want oversight rather than a direct debit coming out of their account, and they don't really know what's going on. And the other point is, if you have a direct debit and you're not watching your bills, if they put the prices up, which they are continuously doing, that will just come flying out of your account and you've got no control over what's going on. So people, you know, there's different types of people. There will be people who are like, well, I just pay mine on direct debit. But there's a lot of people that won't, for lots of reasons, because money's a bit tighter. They want to see the bill and they want to pay by cash. And then they know, and they're not necessarily behind in their payments. They just want a different way to pay. And there seems to be, to me, a move by British Gas against that, by not providing bills, or they're insisting on customers having direct debit. And the other things I've heard about are people having difficulties contacting British Gas through their so-called complaint system, and that the complaints are not getting registered, which is very interesting, because, again, if they're not able to place a complaint, or they're not getting a reply by saying we've acknowledged your complaint, and that could be obviously written forms, you know, post, phone, web, etc. If they can't manage to place their complaint, then what they should be doing is going to the Energy Ombudsman straight away and identifying these facts and making clear, again, with evidence, placing this for the energy ombudsman as a lodge against the energy provider to say they are not even adhering to their own complaints process. So that can be done. So in other words, you have to show, because obviously I'm not here to argue that people shouldn't be paying their bills. I'm here to say it needs to be fair and reasonable. And that people, if people aren't able to get their bills for whatever reason, or they can't lodge a complaint, that there needs to be a fair process. There needs to be a process the which is adhered to. And that can be dealt with through the Energy Ombudsman. So if people are having those issues, that's the best route to start. And you do need to collect evidence to show that, say, for example, you try to write an email to British Gas, and then you got a reply that told you that the email is not registered, or we don't use this email.
Well, look, the people have started the ball rolling on this. Back to the prepay meters was actually the iPaper. They began this, and then it was picked up a few weeks later, towards the beginning of February by the Times, and it's now quite well known, and there's been action on it. But there are also other problems with British Gas that I've heard about, one of which is that they have been giving people a year's free maintenance on their gas appliances, and then all of a sudden that suddenly changes into something which is a rather expensive annual maintenance contract on your and the trouble is, a couple of people I've spoken to, and I've seen some stuff about this online, that people cannot actually get into their own accounts on the British Gas website to find out what's going on or to cancel this.
Well, there we go. And I think personally I've heard so many horror stories about British Gas. The whole notion that they're a somehow trusted provider, I think, should come toppling down. They have announced record profits last year, and yet they have got an utter calamity to face, I hope, with dealing with their own consumers. You know, the amount of issues, they're unapproachable. They don't want to deal with the customers, as it seems, and they are just, I don't believe that they're even adhering to their own conditions of license to trade.
Okay, so what advice have you got, finally, for British Gas customers?
Right, so what I would suggest is, if you've got an issue with British Gas, first of all, do the right thing and try to attempt to resolve it through a formal complaint. You have to do that before you go to an energy ombudsman. You have to satisfy that. It's normally an 8-week period. Now, if you are not able, for whatever reason, you're not able to lodge a complaint with British Gas because they won't allow it, or they don't accept receipts, or whatever the reason, keep a record, keep your evidence, keep a screenshot, whatever it is, and then go to the energy ombudsman and say, I have attempted so many different times in different ways to try to lodge a complaint, and they will take that case as an exception, because the first role of the ball is to place the complaint with the actual energy company. Failing that, if they can't do it. So that's just one example. But in most cases, you should start a complaint with them. If you are able to successfully lodge a complaint, as in British Gas, acknowledge the complaint, they have to adhere to their processes. So whatever your dispute is, they should come to some resolution. If there's no resolution from that, you again can go to the Energy Ombudsman citing the issues that they failed to tackle within the complaint, and they should have a look at it.
Okay, Sonia Mortimer, thanks very much for joining us.
No problem. Thank you.